Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 267, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
Production five. Of iHeartRadio.
Five.
It's five.
It's five. It's Friday. Come on now, five,
five
is cool.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Like, it's all
it's a podcast. I'm getting worse at this. The thousands of episodes in, it's just going away. Dave, I feel myself forgetting. Please stop, Dave. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is, of course, Friday, December 16th, 2022, which, of course, means...
Oh, Friday? December 16th? It's Barbie and Barney Backlash Day. I have no idea what that is.
National... Barney and Barbie Backlash Day?
Yeah, they must
be like...
You got a single
day for both of them?
It must be like they're both owned by Mattel. That would be the only reason they would be like, yeah. But it all says it's a day that allows parents to take a vacation from all the repetitive sing-alongs and storytelling. Oh, a trend straight out of 1994.
And Barbie has repetitive sing-alongs?
Well, they're saying that because they're referencing when the TV shows were on.
Okay.
I don't know. Look, we already know how these days work.
This feels like a typo. It feels like they were like, yeah, I meant to say Barbie Barney.
Baby Back Ribs Day, maybe, could have been. It's National Chocolate Covered Anything Day and obviously National Uglies Christmas.
Obviously.
For those that partake.
Yes. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. These dreams, I'm failed by my pale white thighs. I am running for my life, but traction goes away. That is courtesy of The Brew. A little These Dreams by Heart. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hey, it's Miles Gray, the man just swerving all over Lancashire Boulevard, a.k.a. Hideo Noho. Thank you so much for listening to us.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much, Miles.
And thank you so much. Thank you. And you, the customer.
Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a talented host and journalist who is the youngest person to host her own podcast on iHeartRadio. She was recently named to Pop Sugar's 20 Under 20 list. Because she's under 20 years old.
Okay.
Please welcome the host of Let's Be Real with Sammy J. It's Sammy J!
Sammy!
Hello. You guys are making my week. This is just the serotonin I needed, so thank you.
No.
Yes.
No. You are exactly what we needed to remind ourselves that life is short and but a transient experience that we must value every day.
Sammy, you are closer to being unborn than you are to my age.
Wow. So, that's so deep. That's so true. Weird. How old are you? Yeah,
so deep, so true. 42.
I'm old.
Wow. I don't think that's old though.
No, I know. It's 42.
I think it's that we just like we miss being 19.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
More than like I'm like I'm fine being 38, but then I'm like, damn, like you were I was your age when you were born. And yes, I'm thinking, oh, that was a sick era for me.
You know, that's so fair, but I will say you might not want to be 19 or 20 in 2022 because it is weird.
I didn't say that. I wanted to be permanently 19 starting in 2003.
In 2003 specifically. Peak. Sounds lovely.
Yes.
Very specific.
The peak
very
of specific. All culture. Mm. Like, usually we don't talk about when a guest has a hard out, but you have a hard out to do a final. Like, you're in college. Yeah. You're about to take a final.
Yeah, we're doing full-time student as well as podcast, which has been an interesting balance. We've learned a lot about ourselves and time management, which is always good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been an experience nonetheless, and I've definitely learned a lot from it for sure.
Awesome. Miles, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I was also going to be like, man, final. So wild when I was in college, like I would get this weird hair like that grew out of my forehead from the stress of finals week.
Ooh.
And I always called it my finals horn that would come out. And it was
hair?
Yeah, it was like this silver hair that would come out my forehead. And it stopped once I graduated and I exited academia. And I'm like, are you prepared for your finals? Because all my shit came coming back to me. I'm like, man, are you study? Are you good? You know everything? Do you need to cut out early to brush up on your notes?
I mean, something that I have kind of collective comfort in is no one I know is doing well. You know, everyone is struggling just a little bit to get it done. And there's some comfort in that. And I know it's so close to being done. It's one of those things, finals week, it feels like it's the biggest thing in the world. But in a week, I'm going to block it out from now. And that's what I just keep telling myself.
Yeah,
exactly. And then I get to pluck my finals home.
Exactly. Honestly, that is amazing. Yeah. And it just never came back.
That is so weird, Miles.
Yeah, it's so weird. It was like this thing. It started in high school. Like when my existential stress about school performance like really intensified.
Yeah.
And it just I'm not joking. This shit would manifest in this weird single hair that always came out. And
school is stressful as fuck. Like I still have stress dreams about school. That's what Sammy, just so you know, like once you get through this, you'll be like, it's over. You will be revisiting the stress, except in the stress dreams, you won't be prepared at all. You will have skipped every class that semester and then still have the final.
Right.
FYI. Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. But my wife and I both still have that shit.
I mean, I keep telling myself I'm in film school, so like let's not focus too much on the grades. That's not why we're here. We're not an academic.
Focus on the vibes.
Do you ever stand up in the middle of a final and say that out loud to the room? Say, this is film school. What is this shit? Why am I answering questions?
I think at every class. When there's for my documentary class, we watch documentaries. And for some reason, we have to write 80 pages on a textbook of what we had just talked about. And I don't know how those two things add up, but it's school. And so we're just doing it.
Favorite documentary you saw in school or not? Just what's your favorite documentary?
Okay, two different answers. For my favorite documentary, it would be Life Animated by Roger Ross Williams. And then we saw a documentary in class that was probably the most peculiar film I've ever seen called Tickled. About
We know Tickled. I think we covered that Tickled. On the show.
The one, the one that starts off about the competitive tickling, and then you zoom out, and you're like, "What the?"
So many twists and turns. I felt like I was on a roller coaster watching that film, but it was one of the most entertaining class periods I have had in a minute.
I know. What a blast!
Yeah,
that's so funny, actually, because like that was the thing we covered in this on this podcast. And like, I think we covered it from the standpoint of just like, this is like wild trash, fun, like documentary Netflix shit. And then it's being taught in school. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, we did watch it in school. And I had no idea what was happening. He didn't give us any context. I just knew it was called Tickled. And then I was just immersed.
Wow. You were tickled.
I really was tickled.
All right. Sammy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. There are some times when I'm like, oh, thank God it was Trump. Thank God
Trump was the guy who did the fascism and racism because he's such an idiot. And this is one of those times. By this theory, it's going to happen from somebody. So it might as well be the most just griftery grifter of all time. And he said he had a major announcement. Everyone was like, what is it? Is it going to be his VP pick? And it is a superhero NFT trading card. And it's just, it's the greatest thing that he's done, I think, in his career. We might compare and contrast that with Ron DeSantis and how he's gearing up for his 2024 run. But really, just the, you know, I didn't realize they had a history with this. Our writer JM actually let us know Melania's been hawking some NFTs.
Yeah, we talked about that, the paintings and shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I guess I blocked it from my...
Well, yeah, because you can't, if you kept track of all the Trump family grifts, like, you wouldn't have any space for, like, your children's names in your memory.
But this one is so, like, poorly timed, just, like, tone deaf.
I love
it. As people are starting to bail on him because the grifting had gotten just, like, a little too transparent.
Double down.
Like, what about a superhero card where I look hot?
Yeah.
And you pay me $100.
To hang out.
Hopefully I'm your favorite president. It's all like sad and weird and makes me thankful it was him and not somebody more competent and less transparently grifty. We might even get into J.K. Rowling, all of that, plenty more. But first, Sammy, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
You know, I was looking through this and I apparently am a little bit of a psychopath because I actually clear my search history. Just like I clear my tabs, I was looking and there's nothing there.
Nothing.
So there's,
I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say either. I know I started this during the pandemic when I would just like clear my tabs, but I'm going to look through like my history. It's just like attendance forms. That's what's, everything's on QR codes. So it's so... it tells me that I'm a student. It's the most uninteresting thing about me. But if you look up my, I would say, YouTube search history, now that's a different story.
All right.
Now,
what
are we looking?
Okay, let me look.
T-Spill? What channels? Are we watching drama channels?
No, okay. I will tell you about this. All I've been watching has been the H3 podcast.
Okay.
They come out with like 3-hour episodes for a week. I don't know how they do it. But it's just like what my mind needs to get away from school. So my search history is just different clips from the H3 podcast as the past month has been. If I'm being completely honest, I just love.
Okay. What else? What do you subscribe to on YouTube?
I have a wide variety. I'm looking at my subscriptions now. I really like I like things that can be a good distraction for me that I can do like while doing laundry or like have on in the background. So. There's another podcast called Two Hot Takes where they just read Reddit stories that I'm subscribed to. I like some news. I like, do you know who Emily D. Baker is? She's a lawyer who gives a lot of good law advice. And I love looking and hearing her perspective on like the different cases. So I have a nice variety of stuff, but most of it's long form content, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The word on young people for a long time was like their attention span is 37 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every video has to be 43 seconds.
Okay, you can do this hour long thing, but you have to speed it up so it's done in 20 seconds.
And do it on 1.5. Yeah. 1.5.
Wow.
But yeah, long form content. Just luxuriate in the learning and energy.
Bask in it. Bask in it.
I love Mooncat. Are you subscribed to Mooncat?
No, but do I need to be?
She makes like these like long form documentary pieces that are really dope. M-U-N-E-C-A-T.
Subscribing now.
Yeah, she did recently one on like the manosphere, another one about how like crypto's like the libertarian hellscape that's like about to be unleashed on humanity. But like done in a very like, you know, YouTube-y, fun, jump cut, you know, costumes kind of thing.
So is YouTube your social media of network? Or is YouTube your social network of choice?
It really is. It is my social media of choice, actually. I don't have my Instagram notifications on. I don't have my Snapchat notifications on. I barely go on them. I just notice YouTube is best for my mental health. It does less issues. It makes me less anxious, and it helps most with my anxiety. So
there you go.
And you're able to able to know when you're drifting into manosphere content too.
Exactly. And that is when we put our phone away and we do activities without our phone, which is also very lovely.
And before we started recording, you were talking about how you only eat raw liver. Is that because of the Liver King or is that
something away you were on?
I love how you know Liver King. Oh my goodness. If you want to talk about Liver King, whoa.
That's all we want to talk about, to be honest with you, Sammy.
I mean, honestly, when I think it's so funny that he was saying he wasn't on steroids, because like, come. I think what was most unfortunate is he was promoting a lifestyle that was so unrealistic. And if he promoted, he believed in the ideals he was promoting, he wouldn't have done what he did.
I know. Yeah. It's what a shame.
Right? Love a grift, though. Love a grift when you're like, yeah, I'm looking like this from eating raw liver.
Raw liver. For
he's
real?
Like, I feed like my kids only raw liver. And I was like, God, I hope not. Like, that's. Yeah. There's so much good food out there.
Yeah. Wild how much of the manosphere, like just the right wing kind of Alex Jones, like they're all admitted hoaxes. Like it's not like they're still trying or like, you know, lying about it. Like they're all Alex Jones said in court, like under oath, I'm basically a WWE wrestler. The Liver King is like, yeah, I spend $150,000 a year on steroids, at least.
Like, it was like $12,000 a month or something like that.
Yeah, $12,000 a month. I just did that math in my head. But yeah. Anyways, what is something you think is overrated?
I'm going to say, I know it's controversial, but TikTok. I think there are went down the rabbit hole for a long time. That was my pandemic thing. And then I think once I got off it, I realized, one, how much I was only watching short form content and my brain could only follow short form content, which I was like, watching a movie was really hard. And I found that very concerning. And then when I spent more time off the app, it made me realize how much I was in my own head. And I think it's just allowed me to be more present. So though there are benefits to it, it was just way too toxic for me. So I think it's a little overrated.
Your brain was like, why isn't this movie learning what I liked about the first few minutes and bending itself to my whims so that I like the rest of it?
Why didn't it end the exact way I had hoped it would? You know?
Right. How come machine learning?
Yeah. When is Humphrey Bogart going to get sturdy in this video? What the fuck?
Well, what's the time code for that? Yeah, what's the time code? I'll just pull it up.
Time code for him getting sturdy? Okay, fantastic. But to fast the Paramore forward, drill. Yeah. When's the Paramore drill remix coming in? The fuck is this? A movie or what? But yeah, it's funny, like for me, like because I use it like sparingly in these like streaks where I'm like, I'll give it 30 minutes and I'm like, okay, I see what's going on. And then I'm able to kind of put it down because it's very easy.
That's impressive. You can do that.
I think it's just because I also just have a ton of other things I'd want to do too. So I'm like, okay, do that. Now I can go like check up on this and I have to read this or cook this or whatever. But yeah, the nature of it is like, it does pull you into the point. Like if you're not good at being able to pull yourself away, like you will
be visited.
Your day's gone. Yeah. You'll be visited by that one video where it's like, hey, just checking in, motherfucker. It's been like 80 minutes. Okay. Here's some tips on how to use it less.
Social media power rankings, like among your age group, would you say TikTok is still number one? Is YouTube kind of holding strong? Obviously, Facebook is where we all get our news, right?
And connect to each other.
I would say Instagram is really prevalent.
Yeah.
I would say, unfortunately, Snapchat is also very prevalent.
Still doing it. Okay.
What's really interesting is when I went, like, first joined college, people wouldn't ask me for my Instagram, my number. They would only ask me for my Snapchat, which I thought was really interesting that was the app that everyone communicated on, even via texting. But I would say for me, it's worse is TikTok, then Snapchat, then Instagram, then YouTube.
Yeah. Boom. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, but Facebook is above them all, right? Because we're all getting ready for the metaverse. And
aren't we all in the metaverse?
glued to our news feed to see what our elderly relatives think about Trump's trading cards.
That's probably where he sells the NFTs.
Oh, 100%.
100%. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, you know, I was really thinking about this. And my answer is skipping. It is, like, why don't we skip more? It is so much fun.
Walk, skip,
yeah,
walking?
Yeah, like walk, okay. skipping. Like, mm-hmm. I was, so this summer, my big thing was trying to be more independent. I went to Paris by myself. And one day, it was just raining. Okay. And I was like, I haven't skipped in so long. And I'm just going to skip in the rain. And it was the most serotonin-fueling thing. And so sometimes when I'm walking, I'll just start skipping. And it's just such an underrated thing that fills you with so much joy immediately. So highly recommend we bring back skipping, guys.
I'm in the process of teaching my, like, so my six-year-old can skip and my four-year-old can't. But, like, he doesn't know why he can't. Like, he's like, this is skipping, right? And he's just, like, doing weird shit with his legs.
He's the robot.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. So, but skipping is, you know, when you break it down to that like elemental level, when you're like educating a human from the ground up, like skipping is fun. And once my 6-year old learned to skip, he did nothing else. That was the way he got from one room to the other a couple weeks.
You feel like you're gliding almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny because I like in the mornings, I'll take my dog for a walk and then like there's like an elementary school and I see kids like going to school. And, like, there's this one kid who was skipping so fucking, like, happy. And, I like, to your point, Sammy, I saw this kid. I was like, fuck, man, I haven't skipped in fucking 30 years, probably.
Like,
and
why
I just did it
stop?
For a second. I was like, yo, this shit feels so good. Because I'm like, now I got adult strength legs. So I'm like, I'm getting distance out of my skips.
You not only get distance, you get some height, too.
Yeah.
Adult mad skipping. Boosties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what bring that. What's that as an Olympic fucking category?
Yeah. There's something in my brain that just like wants you to be holding one of those big swirly lollipops when you're skipping. But like that's just we need to get rid of that. We need to change it back so that a businessman can just be skipping to work like with a grim look of determination and resignation on his face.
Why can't he gallivant? Why can't he gallivant like that?
Skip
well, you know how we
gallivant,
do it,
sir.
This is how we bring men in the manosphere into it. It's like, I'll be like, yo, meet me at Pierce Junior College at the track where we're going to have like different heats for the sprint skip finals. Like you think you could skip? Then pull up with your fastest skip and like watch skip races.
I bet you can't skip like me.
Yeah. To get your ego involved.
Yeah. Why don't we have skip? Why isn't that an Olympic event? We have speed walking, which is the silliest looking thing I've ever seen.
That's comedic, but I'll get out of my seat for a skip race.
And can we talk about that skipping is so much better than speed walking? It's more fun to do. I find speed walking more
fun. Speed walking's pretty fun, actually.
I find skipping, you get so much further, though, with skipping, though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, it's definitely more fun, but it's a fun way to look silly as hell. I recommend everybody speed walk around.
How is this a thing? I'm on YouTube. I search skip race. There isn't shit.
Did we just find an open market, guys?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Done.
Skip sprinting, maybe? Is that a thing?
Skip sprinting.
No, and if anything, it's for sprinters using, like, A skips and B skips, like, you know, for your plyometrics and shit. Wow. Yeah,
yeah. I've definitely seen people, like, warm up for the triple jump by skipping.
Yeah, that's an A skip or a B skip, but we're talking, like 100-meter skip?
Yeah.
You know, in the many episodes you guys have done, has anyone brought up skipping? I'm very curious if this topic
And this is one of my favorite underrateds that we've had. So
I'm so honored. Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Very glad.
You're going to nail this final.
Good ideas in my head. Yeah. You got this final. You got this final.
Unless you didn't prepare at all. Oh, my God. So
stressful. Check your finals horn. Yeah.
No, I don't think you guys are ready for what I have in store for the final.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit. Okay. Oh,
damn. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the
destination for business podcasts. With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
I'm sorry. And do you remember Skip-Its?
Yeah.
I remember. So Jack and I remember Skip-It.
No, this is before. This is ages before her time. This is like rock shit for
what
us.
What is it?
The Skip-It was the dumbest fucking toy. It was basically a rotating counter that had like a plastic ankle cuff, and you would skip with it on, and it would. And the very best thing of all, there's a counter on this ball. Skip it. Okay, hold on. I'm going to play you the commercial.
I don't remember it in such detail, but...
This is a Skip It commercial. Skip comes, gather around. You were just skipped in the town. So skip it. Skip it. You run, to jump, to hop, hop. Skip it. Ooh, look, they group skipping over the ball. Here comes the part I was saying. And the very best thing of all, there's a counter on this ball. So try to beat your very best score. Anyway, so that's Skip It.
When I tell you shit. I had a Skip It, you just unlocked a memory for me. I had one of them. Okay. I would practice in my apartment, and it would keep hitting my ankles, and it was so painful. You just unlocked a memory, so thank you.
See?
Even Super Producer Becca Ramos had one. She's also very young, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently the Skip It has staying power.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're like, oh, yeah, that thing. That had a name.
Yeah.
I was about to do the thing. I'm like, can I show you this video of you when you were a baby? And see if you recognize yourself in this one.
Pulled the receipts.
Yeah, my other favorite TikTok.
Speaking of pulling the receipts, somebody's eventually going to do that to whatever the fuck this is. So Trump, we talked about it earlier in the week that Trump said he had a major announcement. I got a little worried. I was like, does he have something? What's he going to do?
Did
like,
he make a nuclear weapon?
Exactly. Like, are he and Putin like going, like both going to like start their own country? What, you know, you're trained to take him serious because he was the president of the United States. And instead of being something serious, it was that he is issuing a trading card with his
Jack,
face paste.
It's more than that. Okay, let's let the announcement video do the talking, because if this doesn't get your wallet opened up like a fucking 24-hour open restaurant, I don't know what will. Here's the Trump card commercial. It's a Trump logo again. Superman got laser eyes.
Hello everyone, this is Donald Trump. Hopefully your favorite president of all time, better than Lincoln.
Oh, we just started off with a knife in the fucking heart. Better hopefully. Oh, sir. Okay, yeah. Go on. I'm sorry.
Better than Washington.
Oh!
With an important announcement to make. I'm doing my first official Donald J. Trump NFT collection right here and right now. They're called Trump Digital Trading Cards. These cards feature some of the really incredible artwork pertaining to my life and my career. It's been very exciting. You can collect your Trump digital cards just like a baseball card or other collectibles. Here's one of the best parts. Each card comes with...
All right, so anyway, there's the grift. There's 45 cards.
Wow.
Each card is $99 each. And basically, what they're trying to do is getting people to buy all 45. Because they're saying, if you buy all 45, you can go to like Mar-a-Lago. So they're using this to be like, fine, you only got broke boy money, you can afford three. Fine, you can enter to win these other prizes. If you buy all 45, guess who's invited to Mar-a-Lago?
This feels like he has moved to a new stage of his career where he's not even really taking himself seriously. Like, the Lincoln Washington thing is wild. Like, it seems like it's just this like cartoon version of Trump.
Look at the artwork.
He's like a Disney character or something for racists.
The artwork. He's like, very fantastic moments from my life. The first one is him dressed as like a sheriff.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
But on a ranch in Montana.
It's like on the set of Yellowstone. Like a tertiary character from the 1923 show. Then another one's like the worst Photoshopped spaceman one I've ever seen. I thought it was Joe Biden inside.
It looks like Joe Biden. I was like, so is Joe Biden playing a villain in this universe? And like, they put Joe Biden as like space villain astronaut guy. But
another one is Trump. Just him doing two thumbs up with gold bullion flying at
as he's about
camera.
To be crushed to death by a hurricane of gold bullion.
There's like another one. He's got like eye black because he's like a fucking quarterback or a NASCAR. Anyway, they're all bullshit NFTs. They're all a scam. And part of me, it's weird. I kind of was bummed out for him in this way that isn't really sympathetic, but more like objectively, I'm like, oh, you're there. That's where you're at right now. You're getting like, you're seeing the polls that say nobody fucking likes you. And then you come out with a NFT grift to be like, and it's me, hopefully your favorite president.
Does his fan base know what NFTs are?
I think they probably do. It feels like there's a big chunk of the NFT bros that are probably sympathetic, but they're also anybody who knows what NFTs are and like has kind of ridden the crash of NFTs all the way down to the ground are probably not the intended audience for this, right? I think you're right that like this is for the grandmas and grandpas.
They don't know. You know what I mean? Like digital trading card? Digital nothing. Digital, get down. I don't know if they know any of that stuff. I think it honestly, again, it's just like for the most energetic supporters, they'll just be like, show me the place to buy it and I'll give you the money. And then they're like, wait, I have to use Ethereum? And they're like, don't worry, we'll convert it at the checkout for you.
Wow.
So, and it's even like using Ethereum, like why don't you just sell them for like fiat currency? You know what I mean? Like, why are you being like, hey man, might as well take this into crypto too, because it's gonna go boom pretty soon. But yeah, this isn't the first time though either. That's why I think it's really sad, because the history of Trump NFTs has just been garbage.
Wait, so he is this an investment by him into NFTs and into like, is he going to be paid only in Ethereum and shit like that? Or
I have no clue. What I don't know.
Anyway, let's talk about his past dalliances. I mean, the Trump family's past dalliances with, it was mainly Melania has been hogging NFTs. She auctioned one along with her hat and a painting of her eyes for a starting bid of $250,000. And it didn't reach the starting bid. Like nobody wanted that shit. It ended up selling for $170,000, which you might notice is $80,000 less than the starting bid she wanted.
Okay, yeah.
And it was purchased by, let me see if I can find it here, Melania Trump. It was purchased by her.
Oh,
she bought it herself because it was embarrassing for how little people gave a fuck about this.
Oh yeah, that's right. Everyone was looking at the crypto wallets that were buying them. They're like, it's like originating from the people like minting the project.
Yeah, exactly.
Boomerang money.
But, you know, he went out and promoted the NFTs, which possibly violated federal ethics rules, or whatever, like, that's worth.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. But he, like, even he made an appearance on Fox, and in the same interview that he was hawking Melania's NFT crypto thing, he said crypto is a very dangerous thing. So, like, I don't even know if he knows that, like, what an NFT is.
No, he, that's why he even is like, and it's like any other memorabilia. That's right. What they said, but it's not tangible. So, yeah. And it's, again, I think it's either money laundering or something else. Like, I don't know why you'd use crypto. Like, you could sell, like, fucking more challenge coins or something. But whenever it's like, yeah, and use it to buy crypto, I'm like, okay, are you getting weird funds from somewhere now? And you're trying to, like, use crypto to, like, bring that, like, money in? Or what is happening here, Mr. Yeah. Donald? But, yeah, I think at the very least, I don't know, Sammy, where would you list sad bro comes out with ego massaging NFT project in terms of how well someone's doing or how poppin' somebody is? Good measure? Or?
Well, I think he doesn't even know. He said they're from a collection of his life. But I don't think he even knows what they're of, because what life has he lived then?
Right.
according to him, you know.
I was sure. Superman. Yo,
Superman,
there's one.
A little bit with laser
eyes.
That's
how he views his life. It's a sight into his mind. Maybe that's what this is. We get to see the way he really views himself.
Right. He's like, I winked at the Statue of Liberty. I made line go up on the Dow, which is one of the fucking cards. He has a red hat that just says Dow, and it's a green line going up behind him.
Yes.
I'm calling it now. He's going to want to either, I don't know, host a game show next, or...
Yeah.
There's something happening there that, like, come on. Like, this is bad for even... for. Like, come on. This is,
yeah.
Like, come on.
It's I don't know, man. I'm thinking this feels like
the bar
really,
is low. It's even lower than it was, and we didn't expect it to be.
Because he came out with his chest out. He's like, America needs a superhero. You're like, oh shit, he's really pumping himself up. And he's like,
has he been like working
NFT?
With Boston Scientific or something on like some sort of RoboCop thing? Like that's what you know, when he's like, we need a superhero, and I'm coming through with the major announcement tomorrow, and
that was his major announcement. Like, like, let's compare what his major announcement was like 6 years ago as running for president. And now he's coming out with NFTs. Like,
he's like, yeah, look at this. I have quads. I have big quads in this drawing of me. And I think maybe, I wonder if it's like, if it is halfway him in his like senility at the wheel and people being like, he's not fucking letting this trading card thing go.
Yeah. They're
like the one from fucking 8 months ago. Did you tell him NFTs are fucked? He won't fucking let it go. He's ever since he saw the fucking laser eyes thing, he wants it out. And then
do we think
like,
he's going to get into boxing now? Is that going to be the next endeavor?
God, please.
He did wrestling before. So, I mean, that's always an option.
Yeah.
But it does. I do wonder if he, you know, we talk on here a lot about how like celebrity can be a impairment to someone's ability to perceive reality as it actually is. Yeah. And he's been a celebrity for a long time. And I think he like broke through his bubble like just out of spite and pure tyranny of will after that White House press thing where he got roasted by Obama and was like, all right, I'm going to actually listen to talk radio and just start mainlining that shit and come through. And use that. But like for the most part, like he doesn't have and hasn't for a long time had anybody around him like telling him the truth, you know?
No.
So this feels very unserious. It also feels like I could see this just being a thing that his followers want and that like people are just forget about in 6 months and he still runs for president.
I mean, he's the type of person who doesn't stand for the truth, though. That's not something, like, I think his actions over every time have shown, like, he doesn't care about the truth. He cares about his perception of himself and the way he can reflect that. So this is just another example of him honing in on his ego.
Yeah. And it's like it's telling when like all you're interested in is the like the appearance of strength and never actually trying to do anything quite about it. It's like, I have to look a certain way. I don't know how to actually coalition build or anything.
If he was, if there was strength, he would actually try and save democracy when he had the chance.
Yeah. But then he would have to not be president and then can't grift. It's kind of a sticky situation, I guess, for him. But
it's when Parler launched an NFT marketplace, they did it with a bunch of Trump NFTs, which are pretty much exactly like these new ones. Like there's Cowboy Trump and Golf Cowboy Trump and like just Trump's face with different like things in the background and different like hats on and shit.
Yeah.
And less than half of those sold. Like nobody. So like they already have shown that this is a loser with his base.
Really trying anything at this point.
But he was just like, you know what the problem is? Those NFTs made me look too fat, and now I'm going to come through and look fucking swole.
Yeah,
that was the issue.
That is the main difference.
I said lasers out of my fucking eyeballs. Like, oh, sorry. Not eye patch with a MAGA hat, which is one of them. I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to be. But yeah, it feels a little flaily. That's why I'm like, part of me wants to be like, wow, yo, you're down bad, sir.
Yeah,
but then I'm always like, man, he's gonna fucking figure it out somehow. Like this motherfucker never goes away. So,
yeah,
on to the next grift for him. But at least his polls are. I think again, like we were speculating yesterday, he's definitely making this announcement because of all that polling that showed that he's had the lowest support since 2016.
Yeah. It's bad timing for NFTs. Like from that standpoint, November set a record low for NFT sales, but also for him because he is like. You know, teetering on the brink of like people just writing him off as a relevant political candidate. And he's like, oh, yeah, how about these trading cards?
Yeah. Oh, he's like, here's the thing. Sell the hardest thing you can try to sell when it's like bottoming out in popularity. Also, when your influence on people is also bottoming out. Perfect storm of a failed project. But yeah, I mean, all that to say, you know, Ron DeSantis is lurking and. Donald Trump since he announced, he hasn't done anything for the campaign.
No.
So a lot of people are like, what are you doing, dude? Like, it's even confusing on so many levels. Like, you're running, but you haven't done anything. Now you're selling NFTs. Like, I don't know. You got
A lot of people are underestimating me now, but they don't know about my secret plan to launch a line of Pogs later this year that is going to drive everyone wild. You don't know what Pogs are, do you, Sammy?
I don't.
Yeah.
They're little what happened back when the milkman used to drop milk off at your door. They came in glass bottles and there was a little paper tab that came on top. And you could take those and collect them. We're called milk caps at first. And then they became Pogs. And we used to slam them up in the 90s. I had an O.J. Simpson slammer with a white Bronco on it. Oh, yes. Wow. It was 1994. Oh, yes. You should see it. Most of the Pogs have not aged well, I'll be honest. Oh,
my God.
Dude,
seeing which ones didn't age well.
Oh, there were some fucking wacky races. I remember my dad was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, I don't know. Is it a Pog? He's like, no, throw that shit away. I'm like, why? He's like, you'll always
street value, Dad. It's popular. Yeah. Anyways, all right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and there's a new story in the news that is making everybody say fuck J.K. Rowling for like the 5,082nd time. But before we get into it, because it's just like more, you know, turf shit. But before we get into it, Sammy, I do want to ask you.
Pick a young person's brain.
So as the youngest person we've ever had on this show, do you and your generation like fuck with Harry Potter? Like the books, the movies?
A bunch of my friends and people do. I'm just not the person.
You're just not
but
the
it's,
person.
But I'm the...
What's like the percentage? Like, so you feel like an outlier for not
I'm the outlier in this situation. Completely.
Okay.
It is still popping. It is still in, at least from before when I knew of J.K. Rowling, like before that
stuff. Sure. Yeah.
But fun fact, I've actually haven't seen the movies because when I was younger, I saw the first one and it petrified me so much.
Which part? Yeah. That they made that little boy live underneath the staircase?
No, I actually, the part that I did watch was not the first movie. It was Voldemort during the major fight scene. And I was a little bit scarred by that and did have nightmares indeed, actually.
Oh, shit.
Man's got to have a nose. Otherwise, man's it's scary.
Truly. And I learned a lot from what I would like in movies, but I'm going to revisit. You're inspiring me to revisit it.
No, don't.
Don't? Oh, maybe I shouldn't after this story.
Well, because we think, like, because generationally, right, I know for, like, millennials my age, I graduated high school in 2003, Harry Potter was popping off, like, especially for the kids that, like, loved fantasy books. I was a little too, like, cynical with my media diet at the time, and I was like, I do not give a fuck about wizard boarding school.
And you were a little old for it, right? Like, you were in high school by the time they came out?
Yeah, but the books started coming out, like, when you're 15, you know, that is.
Oh, yeah. 15 is about
prime
right.
reading
okay.
age. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I just wasn't interested, but I definitely felt like an outlier to the point. I remember, like I've said on this show, I would go on dates and lie about seeing Harry Potter just to like keep the conversation going. But that's why
that
we're
was
like,
your way in with the ladies.
Not even. It was just sort of like they're like, oh, I love Harry Potter. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. Man, I don't fuck with her. And I'm like, yeah, that's tight to me.
I'm a House Hufflington.
Yeah, I'm huffing glue out of a brown paper bag. Puff.
Yeah, I don't like for me, for our generation, it was like Star Wars, which came out before I was born, but it still like dominated the cultural landscape when I was a kid.
I love Star
like,
Wars.
Into adulthood. So like I'm wondering, I always assumed Harry Potter was going to be that from now on. You know, it was just going to be replace Star Wars or be an addition to Star Wars. But then like I've definitely heard people say their kids like don't really like fuck with it at all, or you know, younger people say that they just like it's not that relevant to them, but it does still seem to have a hold.
Well, yeah, That initial run of books, which is why J.K. Rowling can continue to just be like,
just be a piece of shit.
Deal with it.
What did she do now?
So, I mean, on the surface, sounds good. She launched a service to help victims of sexual violence. The center, Bureau's Place, is there to service an unmet need for women in the area, as in only cisgender women, though. Mm. Because this endeavor is just more anti-trans bullshit disguised as philanthropy.
Like, are they saying that? Like, is there like an asterisk on the sign?
Yeah, I mean,
are they just clearly
an official policy?
Oh, that's a worded rather than like, and they are discriminating against like, you know, non-cisgendered people. It's just like, and it's for the cis ladies out there. All right,
that is so horrible. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So the project was not coincidentally announced just days before Scotland is set to pass a bill strengthening trans rights, removing some of the obstacles that make it harder to officially declare your gender. And it seems like, you know, bigoted spite. She made it pretty clear in a recent interview in which the opening of the center is framed around her opposition to trans rights. So,
gosh, why do people suck? Why can't people just not suck? It's so easy.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's this, like, whatever the opposite of intersectionality is, she just, like, has this thing where it's, like, I just have to, like, hold down this very small corner of advocacy and in favor and, like, just, if that means fucking over everybody else, like, that's what I'm going to do. It's so wild.
And also just like weird because you have people with the resources to invest in their bad takes and their like dumb perspective, where I think it's like this always happens, right? When people get to a certain level of like wealth, especially wealth, they're not hearing shit from anybody.
Yeah.
Like she hasn't. Honestly, they're like, you're fucking poor. I don't care what you have to say about trans rights. I'm wealthy.
And she just doesn't ever see a poor person, you know?
No, but exactly. But like, it's the same thing like with the Chappelle thing when Elon Musk came on stage and it turned into they're only mad because they are in the cheap seats. It's like that same thing. It's like dismissive because they're not rich and there's not much more analysis needed for those people to kind of keep themselves insulated from being like, I'm not bad. They're poor and stupid. Next question. Oh, you don't like that? Watch me do a troll move and open up this like discriminatory like woman support center.
Right. Yeah, she hasn't. Nobody has told her the truth since the second Harry Potter book came out.
What does that mean? It's bad? No. Or that was the last good one?
No, that was just like I'm sure the first one. Like that's she still had some people around her, and then by the second one, everyone was like, "You are a god," and they told you it couldn't be done. That's the other thing. If you get a little resistance at first, like she had sent it to all the publishing houses, and they had thrown it out, and like. Everybody was wrong about her books, and so now everybody's wrong about everything else, according to her.
It's the chip on the shoulder to terrible hubris pipeline.
Yes, exactly. She was quoted as saying, "The only time I've ever made reference to being canceled, my book sales went up. Why am I even laughing? I can't believe I'm saying these words, but you have to mock them. I do not consider myself canceled." So,
and those are people that don't want to learn or grow.
Yeah. Right.
But also rail against cancel culture.
Right.
So which one is it, JK? Yeah. Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike? Are you getting canceled you remember that reference, Sammy, don't you? From the Nas and Jay-Z battles of yesteryear. But yeah, it does feel like it's just so inconsistent. And like it's so transparently clear how insecure they are because they always have to reference their cancellation and like, and it doesn't bother me actually. So how could I be canceled?
I'm totally fine. I'm just like, I'm canceled. It's so much fun. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm doing great. So much canceled.
In the interview where she says, "The line that I've met in a couple of places is that there is no universal experience of womanhood. Well, there is a common experience. It's being female." Like, this is how she talks about her opposition to trans rights.
And, whoa.
And she says, the person who's interviewing her talks about how the Edinburgh Rape Crisis Center is oversubscribed, but they don't acknowledge the fact that transphobic threats and harassment enabled by public figures like her have meant that trans people in need of help have been afraid to come to the center in person. So, like, there's already like a right. situation where they're being underserved because they're so discriminated against by, you know, everyone, like lots of people in their communities, but like also these huge famous people who are just unabashedly being like, my sales go up when I talk shit about you. So I don't perceive you as a
so
human being.
So miss me with that.
Yeah. So it's a fucking mess.
Yeah. Well, she continues to disappoint.
Right. Well, Sammy, truly a pleasure having you. We have to let you go to go take your final.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This has been such a fun experience.
You're welcome.
Follow me on Instagram. It's Sammy J. Check out the podcast. We are having our season 4 finale coming up with Dule Hill, which I'm very excited about. And we have 10 episodes out of just this season alone. We hit over our 50th episode. So there are many episodes to go back and check out. And yeah, if anyone ever wants, you know, to talk or, you know, they feel alone, my DMs are always open. And thank you guys so much for having me. This has put me in a great mood before my final. I hope yeah, right. I pass. And
you got this.
I just appreciate you guys. This has been so yeah. lovely.
You got it. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
So, okay, this work of social media that I've been enjoying, I don't know if you've gotten this before, but I saw this on the H3 podcast and I didn't feel like it needs to be vocalized more. But I don't know if you're aware that Howie Mandel posted a prolapsed anus on his TikTok, claiming to have posted, deleted now, not claiming to not having realized he posted an actual prolapsed anus on his TikTok. And he denies it, saying he thought it was someone sitting and pudding. And if you look at the audio is the best part. It says, my friend Neil bent down. Is it COVID related? Uh-oh. Or ouch. It is the most amazing TikTok that I hope you guys find that has been giving me so much serotonin. And it's crazy because he's a pretty PC guy. And he's kind of changed his whole career, and in my opinion, his legacy just a little bit with posting this prolapsed anus, and I just wanted that to be mentioned.
So Howie's wilding on TikTok.
Howie's wilding on TikTok. Like, oh, who would have thought?
Yeah. Isn't he like a big germaphobe or something?
Yeah. Huge
right?
germaphobe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, okay. he said that it's only with germs that touch him that he can look at gross stuff, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so that was been my interesting piece of content that has been no one has been talking about. I feel like, why is no one really talking about this besides this podcast? Because it's absurd.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm already just like the still of the TikTok, like without even, it's like, it's obscured in this video, but like his like circular frames and like bald head, like green screened into the corner. He's like, so here's my friend. You're like, okay.
Apparently right. he lost advertisers because of posting this TikTok. And I'm like, why would you post why would you post with guidelines and stuff? Why would you post a prolapsed anus on TikTok, man?
Well,
wild.
America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent. And yeah. that is where I leave you off. I hope that was an okay answer.
That is a great answer. And we appreciate you being here. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Obviously, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, the NBA podcast, and 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra. Piece of social media I like. I don't have something quite at the levels of Howie Mandel's post, but there was a really interesting tweet thread by at Zach W. Lambert about, look, I've been learning all about Christmas. Like somebody tweeted at us, they're saying like, yeah, the 12 days of Christmas starts on the 25th and then it's the 12 days
yeah.
after that. And what? I was like, right, the Epiphany. Oh, sick, sick, sick.
Nobody's ever sung that song after Christmas, though.
I know. And that's why I think in our minds, we're like, what the fuck is after Christmas? It's nothing.
Well, we're supposed to keep giving gifts after Christmas. Come on.
What is Boxing Day? But Zach W. Lambert put this tweet, it's basically going down the history of the song O Holy Night. And I'll just read a couple of the posts. It said, do you know the story behind O Holy Night? If you know me at all, you know I love Christmas music. My favorite song is O Holy Night. I've loved it since I was a little kid, but didn't know the origins until a few years ago. O Holy Night was originally a poem commissioned by a French priest in 1847 because he wanted something special to read at Christmas. In 1855, a Boston pastor named John Dwight found and translated it. He fell in love with it primarily because of verse 3, which says, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." And he goes on to say, like, this came out, this hit the U.S. 1855. We're on our way to the Civil War. And a lot of religious leaders at the time were giving religious arguments that were pro-slavery. And this particular pastor, John Dwight, was a staunch abolitionist and was like, really loved this song for this verse. And kind of goes along about how, like, basically how that verse has been disappeared or edited in certain places. And you're like, holy shit. Like, I had no idea about this song. And like, there was apparently one of the more popular versions by Carrie Underwood changes the "for the slave is our brother" to "for his child is our brother." So,
what?
Yeah. So it's interesting. He's like, in this tweet, he's like, look out for the people that sing verse three. You know, shout out to all the real proper verse three singers of this song who aren't getting caught up in some other nonsense.
Top five all time Christmas recording songs is Tevin Campbell's "O Holy Night" from A Very Special Christmas 2.
Oh, okay.
Classic.
Okay.
But I don't think he sings that verse. I don't remember that.
Oh, no. Tevin.
Tevin.
Can we talk for a minute, Kevin? Tevin, I mean.
If that is your real name. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. I've been enjoying. Alex Schmidt came through with a Alex Schmitty on Twitter. Just a screen cap of somebody posted, what if Elon bought Pfizer? Would people stop getting shots and Viagra? And Elon Musk responded, oh man, that would be an epic troll, ! Alex was just like, quote, comedy is now legal on Twitter. Yep. Every time I see what he is posting, I don't, like, he must have turned his posting over to like a 12-year-old.
No, he's 51 and he doesn't know anything. He's like, he's like a unserious, uncool loser. Oh, Siri, that would be an epic troll, my goodness.
That would be so sick.
Yes.
That would be so sick.
Keith Henning told me that joke. Amber.
Amber. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, man. So I've played a couple Amapiano tracks here before. Just, I love this kind of electronic music from South Africa. And there's this remix of this other track that has like the Amapiano, like wood drum bass over it. For people who know the genre, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, this is a really, I like the track. It's called LPFJ and it's the Ami and Dave Nunes remix. I can only find it on SoundCloud. So if you want something that, you know, gets your shoulders popping a little bit, gives you that little angry face when you hear the beat, check this one out.
There you go. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.